What's up, Atlanta? It's a Tuesday with Turtle. Got you four? The full four, so you know what that means. 404-726-0929 is the way to get involved with the program. Also, hit me up at C. Thomas Radio. We have a wide-spanning show tonight. We're going to talk Hawks with our buddy Caleb Johnson. We're going to get into the latest college football rankings. Lane Kiffin driving everybody up the wall. We will get to everything. I may even sneak in a Braves topic real quick because there was an article I saw today on ESPN.com of the top 25 free agents.
I saw that.
Yes, and there is one name that sticks out for the Atlanta Braves.
A Georgia native.
A Georgia native.
A Georgia native, y'all.
And to Oren, punt it up, he has been quite a peach in the major leagues for the last couple of years. A very, very good player coming into his own later in his career. So we'll touch on that as well. But before we get into that, Falcons Nation, I am officially calling a town hall meeting tonight. And you're all invited at 404-726-0929. We are all gathered here tonight on 92.9 The Game to address our team, which fell to 4-8 after losing to the New York Jets. We are gathered here this evening to figure out the following. What is the state of this team, and what are we looking for the rest of the season? 404-726-0929. I ask only one thing of you tonight during our Falcons town hall. We'll be taking calls in every hour of the show. Just be honest. Be honest with me. How are you feeling right now? And here's a more specific question. So I want to know how you're feeling in general. But specifically, what I really want to know, in your heart of hearts, after watching this team through 12 games, suffer all the injuries, go through all the trials and tribulations, poor coaching decisions, you need to make a decision for me tonight. Are the Atlanta Falcons next season closer to one of the two things? I put a poll up on Sunday. It got a lot of traction. We were only able to scratch the surface on the Falcons flyover. It was a shorter show. So let's expand the conversation tonight. So during our town hall this evening, I just want to know your emotions, your honest emotion right now at 4-8. Because let's be honest, nobody thought we'd be here. Some of y'all I know thought a lot closer to what Vegas was saying, which was 7.5 wins. I know that, and that's fine. Nobody had 4-8 with Michael Penix out for the year. Kyle Pitts about to walk, and make no mistake, that is happening. They're not paying him top tight end money. Another year of Bijan Robinson with nothing to show for it. Drake hurt, another year of him, nothing to show for it. I don't think there's very many of us that thought we'd be here right now at 4-8. So what is this team? Do you still believe there's enough with this team that there could be a quick turnaround vis-a-vis the Chicago Bears next season? Or do you think this team, between revamping the roster and the coaching staff and perhaps the front office, is in for a longer stretch before this thing is fully humming? What do you think? 404-726-0929. There's an argument to be made that this thing, again, vis-a-vis the Bears, vis-a-vis the Lions, that a quick turnaround is absolutely possible. When you have the core pieces, Billy Bowman, Xavier Watts, Walker, Pierce, if Caden Ellis sticks around, if David Onyemata sticks around long term, A.J. Terrell is here, you have Jesse Bates. Do you still believe in that nucleus? Do you believe in the nucleus of Drake London, Bijan Robinson? Do you believe in the nucleus a future that involves Michael Penix Jr.? Or do you think to yourselves during this town hall tonight, man, Turtle, I looked it in the mirror and I came to the following conclusion. I think this thing needs a long and difficult, because it will be difficult, as of the last eight seasons without the playoffs. We won't even call it a full rebuild. We'll call it a retooling. We'll call it a restructuring. But more likely than not, this thing is not going to be snap your fingers and turn it around like the Bears or the Lions or the Patriots. Listen, I'm not giving up hope. I think there is enough talent on this team. I think the coaching staff needs a total overhaul, but that's kind of just duh at this point. But the coaching staff needs a total overhaul. The roster, to me, needs more tweaking than complete and utter teardown. It needs more tweaking. I think you need to tweak the offensive line. I think you need to tweak the interior of the defensive line. Clearly, you need to tweak the linebacker depth. You need to add a lot more depth there. You got great starting pieces, but you fall off a cliff if either Caden Ellis or Divine Diablo can't go. So this team, to me, needs more tweaking. But what do you feel? Because I had callers. Oren, you ready for this? I had callers on Sunday night call me up and say the following. And it wasn't just one, and it wasn't because I was asking the question. We were doing a regular Falcons flyover, reacting to the game, venting our frustrations. And I had three or four different callers, two in particular that I remember, but it was more than that, suggest that the easiest path to getting the Falcons back on track is trading Drake London and Bijan Robinson, getting back the first round picks that you don't have, and doing a reset. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I had people tweeting me. I had people calling in saying, what are these people talking about? And I agree. That to me is a break glass in case of emergency option that is just not necessary. It's just not necessary. But I will say this. I certainly understand the frustration. I certainly understand the level of indignance towards this franchise right now. That there are some of y'all that say out there, listen, I don't care what it takes. We're not winning with these guys. And that was the argument that the callers were making to me. Listen, Turtle, we're not winning with these guys. So what does it matter? We haven't won squat with Bijan and Drake and Lindstrom and McGarry and Jake. So what? Get what you can for them. You don't have a first-round pick. Get a first-round pick. Get another first-round pick for next year and set yourself up like the Jets did, who just beat you. Without their two best players on defense. Quinnen Williams, all pro D tackle, gone. Sauce Gardner, all pro corner, gone.
Garrett Wilson, wide receiver,
Garrett Wilson,
hurt.
Out, injury. I mean, come on. And they beat you. And they put up 27 points on your vaunted Jeff Ulbrich defense. Listen, I know 10 of that was because of special teams, but still, you got to look at this team right now tonight during our town hall, which, again, we will be taking calls in every hour of the show tonight about the state of this team. What are your thoughts in general? And then where do you stand with the direction that this team needs to go? Is it just a few pieces away and a coaching staff change from that quick turnaround like the Bears, like the Lions, like the Patriots? Or do you believe that this thing has a long way to go? 404-726-0929. I see the line starting to light up already, so as soon as we get back, we'll take your calls. And then again, we are taking calls in every hour of the show. If you can't get through on the lines, hit me up on Twitter at CThomasRadio, and you can interact with me there if you can't get through on the phones. When we get back, it's straight to your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you for the full four till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the free Odyssey app. Before we get to the busy phone lines, just want to remind you on Chris Thomas tonight to join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by simply tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight with you for the full four, taking you until 10 o'clock. We're going to get to your calls here in just a second at 404-726-0929. The Atlanta Falcons Town Hall is officially underway. Two-parter. Just generally at 4-8, I don't think, again, as I said in the open, I don't think anybody had this being where it is right now in terms of 4-8, Penix injured, Drake injured, the defense putting up big sack numbers but failing to come through in the clutch over and over and over again, and the general incompetence, unfortunately to say, at times of the coaching staff. Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, even now Jeff Olbrich. Guys, he's been good, and the defense has put up good numbers at times, but it's all about wins and losses at the end of the day. And you've lost 5 one-score games because, in part, your defense couldn't come up with a clutch stop, whether it was Daniel Jones picking up the first down on 3rd and 20, whether it was what just happened this week against the Jets or the Patriots in overtime. It just hasn't been the season that anybody hoped. So, along with your feelings, though, a very specific question. And we're going to have an honest discussion about it tonight. I told you how I feel. What is this team closer to? Are they an offseason away of a new coaching staff, spackling up the roster with some key players, keeping this core intact, and becoming the next Patriots, the next Lions, the next Bears? Or are you looking at this honestly as a fan right now and thinking, oh boy, we may have a multi-year situation ahead to finally get where we need to be? Again, the town hall is officially open, and it's time to hear from you. Augie leads us off. Augie, go ahead.
So this may be the optimistic Georgia fan in me because everything always seems to work out with Georgia Bulldogs, but I think the Falcons are one good coaching staff away. I think even this year they've got a better roster than the Bears. They've got a better roster than the Patriots. So they get a good coach in here, and all of a sudden, this is a team that can at least compete for regular season wins. I don't know if the team is mature enough yet to go compete for a Super Bowl, but they can make a playoff run. That is without a question. It's just a matter of, will Arthur Blank swallow his pride and decide to, for once, not hire one of his buddies? If you look at this coaching staff, they've all been in the building before, and the Falcons have made the playoffs in 8 years. So clearly something they were doing back then doesn't work, and it's not working now. So if Arthur Blank will just hire some hotshot new coach, I think we'll be fine. Not only that, Kirk Cousins' contract is gone next year, right? We're not bringing him back. No way.
That'll free up the money. And Augie, I appreciate the call. You got a little background noise. Just had to let you go, but I appreciate your points. Good stuff. Yeah, Kirk Cousins is a $57 million cap hit next year. That ain't happening. I believe if he's a post-June 1, it's like less than half of that. So if you're envisioning a world where Kirk Cousins plays well down the stretch and is the quarterback of the future for the Falcons next year until Penix is back and beyond, I highly doubt that just because the cap number is just astronomical at that point. Jason's up next. Jason.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Turtle. Thanks for the therapy session. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
First thing first, I got three little things. First thing I think is general manager. I can't believe that anybody on this team, even the practice squad, cannot catch a football. I can't understand that. I have no fandom on that. Second thing, I think we're good on the players. Bijan, great. I wish we used Tyler Allgeier a little bit more when in the third down one situation, because I know Allgeier can get those 2 yards easily. I think we're starting to do it a little bit more now, but I think we should have a couple of games we could have did that in, and we could have probably won those as well instead of passing on that third down and one third down two short yardage. And then the third thing, we have to figure out the special team and get rid of the special team coach because this is terrible. I've never seen anything in my life like I saw on Sunday when the guy tried to catch that ball on the 5-yard line. It made no sense at all. Any coach would tell you not to do that, and I think he just I guess, made a decision on his mind. He's going to catch and try to run it out because I guess they were running all of them down the field on special teams. So that's all I got, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the therapy session.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. Good calls from Augie and Jason to lead us off so far. Listen, I agree. Coaching. How many times have I said that obnoxiously into this microphone here on Chris Thomas tonight on 92.9 The Game? Too many, but you can't say it enough because that's what it all comes down to. What Jamal Agnew did on Sunday was unforgivable. But, again, are we going to take off Marquise Williams' head for that? I don't think he coached him to do that. But to Jason's point, that doesn't matter. Special teams has been awful all season long. If they're not the worst special teams coverage unit in the entire NFL, I don't know who is. I don't know how you could be worse than what the Falcons have put on tape. 404-726-0929. Scott is up next. Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, so how am I feeling? Well, we're about to be 4-9, so I'm beyond disappointed. I'm in just utter confusion, utter frustration. I mean, just all of the above. I got two short things here. The first thing is, to answer your question, I think that with the right coaching staff, there's no reason for a rebuild. However, we have to understand on the offensive side of the ball next year, this may look like an entirely different team because we're not sure who's going to be a quarterback. Tyler Allgeier may be gone. The wide receiver room is going to look completely different because I don't see how you can bring most of these people back in the wide receiver room outside of Drake London. They're all mediocre or worse. Kyle Pitts is likely gone. Jake Matthews, who knows if he's going to retire or not. Hopefully Caleb McGarry will be back. It could look entirely different. So there's that. But the next thing I wanted to say was when we were looking for a coach and we hired Raheem Morris, it's been said that we interviewed Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Mike Vrabel, and Jim Harbaugh. Now, Jim Harbaugh may have had his sights set out west. I get that. But we let all of those coaches come in here and interview, and look what all four of them are doing this year. They're proof that the answer to your question is a quick turnaround is possible, but they're also proof that this organization and this franchise is inept because we let them all walk through this door and somehow decide that Raheem Morris was better than all of them. And look at the job they're all doing. So is it possible? Yes, it's possible for a complete turnaround. We've got the pieces, but are we confident that this organization can make the right decision? And with all the people in Arthur Blank's ears telling them this or that, I don't think so. I don't think that this organization is capable of making the right decision because look what we just let walk. So thank you for taking my call.
Yes, Scott, appreciate it as always for checking in. 404-726-0929. I think also Raheem Morris's relationships with the front office, I think, definitely played into that decision as well in terms of them, you know, trusting him with the keys to the castle. Somebody Rich McKay has worked with, somebody Arthur Blank has worked with before. Mike McDonald was a neophyte at the time. Sure doesn't look like one right now, to Scott's point. 404-726-0929. It is Chris Thomas tonight. We're taking your calls. The Falcons Town Hall will be going on until 10 o'clock tonight. How do you feel in general, 4-8? I just want to know because nobody thought we'd be here. And then secondarily, do you believe this team is a coaching staff, regime change away, and just some spackling of the roster with the main talent already here to become a quick turnaround team like the Bears, like the Lions, like the Patriots? Or do you think we might be in this thing for the long haul? Let's go to James up next. James.
Hey, Turtle.
What up, James?
Yeah, appreciate you taking my call. Look, man, I know we done named all those teams that's been up there and got winning records. I mean, look at Carolina. Look at where they were yesterday. Look where they were last year with those dollar seats. You see what happened. They got a new person in there, and, hey, they were picked to be last in the division. Look where they're at. Half game out of first place. And you know, I was looking at that game Sunday, and I was looking at an omen. I hope it wasn't an omen, but did you see that stadium? There was nobody in that stadium. So let Arthur Blank look at that and see what's behind. I hope it's not like that. Thanks, Turtle.
Yeah, appreciate it. I hope so, too. I hope Falcons fans come out in full force on Sunday. Do I think it's going to happen? If I'm being – we're honest here, right? I do not. I think there will be a ticket or two available on the market if you were looking to find one. Appreciate it, James. Let's go to Johnny up next. Johnny.
Hey, Turtle. How you doing tonight?
What's up, Johnny?
Great. Hey, couple of things. One, how do I feel? I am so frustrated. But I know that this team is a coaching staff away. And let me tell you why. I was upset last year when, after the New Orleans game, our head coach, every week, when Mike Bell and Carl asked him, is Kirk Cousins hurt? And he flat-faced said no. And he did that 5 weeks in a row, knowing that the man was hurt. And then, after Super Bowl, Kirk Cousins tells everybody he was hurt. If he had done that to me, he wouldn't be on my team, much less playing right now. But we cannot get rid of our stars. We got to get a coaching staff. And I think Raheem, he's not coaching. He doesn't have a piece of paper in his hand. He has no play sheets in his hand. He is trusting those guys to do everything, and they are failing miserably. Sunday was the first time I heard him admit that our coaching was just bad. It's been bad all year. And so I think we're a whole coaching staff away. Every good coach has a play sheet in their hand. And, yes, they got coordinators, but they can override the coordinators. So that's the way I feel.
No, John, yeah, appreciate it. I agree 100%. I think this roster has enough talent on it. I think this roster has enough star power on it to make a full turnaround with a healthy Penix in fold at some point next year and a new coaching staff in place. 404-726-0929. It's the Falcons Town Hall. We're here until 10 o'clock tonight. How are you feeling? And how close do you think the Falcons are to competing? Could it be as different this time next year? The record's flipped and we're looking at 8-4? I think it could be very easily. What do you think? 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. You'll be first up. We're also going to talk to Joe Patrick, get the state of the scene from Flowery Branch, all that and more. It is a Falcons Town Hall with Turtle on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Is this a remix, Oren? Yeah, this is interesting. This one has a little bit more of a kick to it than the original soundtrack. Love it. 404-726-0929. This is the new theme of the Falcons Town Hall for the rest of the night. Join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home presented by Publix. And you can also join me on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each and every Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your chance to call in and react after every game. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm sure Joe would be interested to know that Amy Grant is going to be at the Fox Theater, I think, December the 11th.
Is that right?
Yeah, singing holiday classics, and maybe even she'll even sing a little Baby Baby for us there, Joe.
I think Joe Patrick.
Pop me up. Let's go.
And
how about that? I'm glad you called that out, Chris. That version had like a little bit more pizzazz somehow. It's like the. I don't know what that was.
Yeah,
like the umami of that song.
It's like they put a little hot sauce on it or something. It just had a little bit more of a kick to it. Joe Patrick with us on the waitfor.com hotline. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on football wherever you get your podcast. Joe, the Falcons lost to the Jets. That is a thing that happened on Sunday. Did you witness from this team that once again allowed a team to come back into the game then eventually take the lead, walk off the Falcons on a 56-yard field goal, and get us to the point where we are now.
Yes, I mean, so frustrating because it feels like in some respects, especially offensively with what Bijan Robinson was able to give you, you know, you play that, that's the kind of performance you needed and the kind of game you needed to walk out of there with a win. But, you know, once again, it's just the fact that this team gives itself no room for error and they commit far too many errors. And that was obviously evident on special teams. Once again, you know, obviously Jamal Agnew's fumble inside his 5-yard line is huge. Like that's a game swinging play that causes you, you know, it's a 7-point difference there. But it's the continual lack of coverage from this team that is really, really concerning on that special teams unit. And that's why they just, you know, they just give up points, it feels like, almost every single week. And then the other thing that was frustrating in this one, Chris, was, you know, defensively, just allowing Tyrod Taylor to get these scrambling yardage and just kind of giving up some of that easy yards where it didn't feel like the Jets really had much to threaten you with on the offensive side of the football. And you get beat by A.D. Mitchell on, you know, kind of a fluky-ish kind of play because, you know, of a defender falling down there. But just overall, obviously, just a really, really frustrating day and kind of epitomizes a bit of what this Falcons season has been so far.
I thought you had a very interesting back and forth with head coach Raheem Morris the other day about making potential changes to the special teams. What did you ask the coach, and then how did he respond?
Yeah, you know, I asked Raheem Morris the exact question that friends, family were texting me, you know, during that game, watching that frustrating special teams performance and literally saying, like, you know, why are we continuing with the special teams coach, that special teams coordinator, Marquise Williams, while the team fired Ike Hilliard, its wide receivers coach, in week 3. And this is a wide receivers unit that really emerged, I thought, last year under Ike Hilliard, where Drake London has a big year, fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. Darnell Mooney almost has 1,000 yards. Ray McCloud has 600 yards, over 600 yards. And then early in the season, in week 3, you make that firing. So what is the difference between what's happening on the special teams unit and what was going on there in the wide receiver room? And Raheem Morris said it was down to communication that was happening, or a lack thereof, I guess, poor communication, whatever that kind of means. He kind of left it vague, but just like he said, the way things were being communicated in that room were affecting performance, and that's why he you know, he named performance as the reason why he fired Ike Hilliard after week 3, after he made that action. So, and he said that the communication's not a problem with Marquise Williams, and kind of alluding to the fact that it's more just players making individual errors. But again, I think that there are obviously players making individual errors, you know, on special teams, whether that's kicking, whether that's a fumble like Jamal Agnew. But again, it's that the coverage units that really haven't been good this year or last year. Last year, they were 30th in the NFL in kickoff coverage as well. So, yeah, that's the question I asked. But, you know, it was an interesting answer, to say the least.
Yeah, it's just something that, honestly, Joe, I said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. I was surprised there wasn't a move made after the Berlin game because of the way that you let the Colts constantly start on your side of the field. And then to follow it up with this performance just a couple of weeks later, I know that it's something that has been talked about ad nauseum. But, Joe, I honestly feel at this point, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, that the reason that there hasn't been sweeping changes at this point is simply because there's really nobody that could even finish out the season should Raheem Morris be relieved of his duties. 22 games under 500 now as a head coach, just clearly not working out here in Atlanta. But, Joe, I mean, it's not Zach Robinson, it's not T.J. Yates, it's clearly not Marquise Williams or Jeff Ulbrich. We saw what happened as a disaster as the interim for the Jets last year. So I think sort of by default, he gets to finish out the season.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that, you know, just like organizationally, the decision is like, is a move going to help, you know, and help can happen in many different ways, whether that's, you know, helping the players be better players and have better performances, or help you, you know, with your image, basically, and what you want to project to the fan base in terms of, you know, meritocratic standards or whatever that is. But I think ultimately right now, the decision is that, like, you know, there's not like the team will not be better served by other people being in charge with still a decent chunk of the season left to go. And that's generally the reason why I think, you know, certain owners, and Arthur Blank has typically been one that does not fire in season. And I think it's kind of just a philosophy of kind of what you believe is best. And I think that there is an argument to say that, you know, it doesn't really make sense to kind of chop and change things at this point. But again, clearly it's like, but again, it's not like you just have some amazing special teams coach that you know you have that you can go to. You know, it's not quite that simple. And so that's basically, you know, the determination that the organization is making at this point. And I think that that's kind of how Raheem Morris will be until they ever want to make that move to potentially end his tenure.
What's the latest on Drake London, and what do you make of the fact that this injury's taken a little bit of time now?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one that he's got a PCL sprain, and these sprains can be really kind of finicky, and I think it kind of has to do with, you know, just like the severity of the sprain and whatnot. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so yeah, I got that one in. But, you know, he's looking better. He was out last week, which was the first game that he missed. Raheem Morris said he's now day-to-day, which is an improvement from what he was last week, which was week-to-week. I still think it's very much up in the air at this point. In fact, if you had to push me one way or the other, I'd probably say it's more likely that he misses this game. Again, with nothing on the line, you don't really want to risk something at this point. But it looks like he will be able to return relatively soon to this team.
With less than nothing backing up Kyle Pitts and Darnell Mooney at this point, and you know, I know Kyle Pitts had a good game, but those two, for the most part, have been major disappointments this year. Why make Cordero Hodge and Casey Washington inactive? I just don't understand.
Yeah, you know, I think it sounds like for different reasons, Raheem Morris did note that, like, Cordero Hodge was a healthy scratch because he said there were some things that he didn't do right last week, and basically that being the reason for him kind of not earning his way into the game day roster. But, I mean, you know, it's hard for fans to accept that when they don't see practice or games or, you know, the tape, whatever it might be that caused the team to make the decision. And they know that he's a Pro Bowl special teamer. And so it's hard to kind of really justify that. You know, and they also saw him make like a big catch last year when Kirk Cousins passed to him in that overtime game against the Bucks, and kind of got some recognition as a receiver from that. So, you know, ultimately these coaches are doing what they think is going to, you know, give them the best opportunity. And then the Casey Washington one is concerning. You know, that one's just concerning about kind of, you wonder where his standing is and whether, you know, I'm sure, yeah, next year he will be absolutely fighting for, you know, for a job. And at this point, it's like, you wonder if he would even earn that spot over some of the guys that, you know, presumably beat, or, you know, ostensibly beat him out in training camp, and the likes of guys like Dylan Drummond, Tompkins. So, you know, you've got some other options there you can go to, but it's not a good group. You know, you're totally right, Chris, that it's like, it's really killing this team right now. They just don't have really dynamic pass catchers, especially for a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, who's kind of needs those playmakers on the outside to really be dangerous, like he had in Minnesota.
Speaking of Kirk Cousins, as we're talking with Joe Patrick, make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football wherever you get your podcasts. Do you foresee him sort of steadily coming along the rest of the way? That's kind of how it feels like to me. I don't think he's ever going to reach the heights that he did last season where he was breaking records, but it seems like the more like he kind of knocks the rust off, it seems like he's still, I guess, competent would be the word I would use.
I'm sorry, I missed the name. Who were you talking about?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Kirk. Yeah. I mean, I think he's playing fine. You know, like he wasn't the cause. I think you would have thought if the Falcons were to lose to the Jets, Kirk Cousins is probably going to be a big reason why. He really wasn't. Like, he played well and good enough. And I think that, like, the team can sustain with him. Honestly, he's, like, the least of my concerns I would have for this team right now. In fact, I think that if anybody's going to kind of keep heads a little, like, level, and hopefully the performances, like, continue to be professional, like, I guess you could debate last Sunday, but, you know, I still thought the guys played hard, and I think having him at quarterback and kind of leading the way, especially, you know, with the game plans and such, I think it'll actually be a decent leader for this team down the end of the season.
Before I let you go, obviously we know you're on the Atlanta United trail as well. What did you make of the announcement about Garth Lagerwey?
Yeah, just I you know, love Garth. He's like a true gentleman, and Hope he's going to do well, but he's stepped away, or he's no longer with Atlanta United as he battles cancer. So just all thoughts with him, and I know that he's no one will fight harder than he will. So hope all of the best regards.
What does it mean for the franchise?
You know, they're going to start a search, which has already begun, and that new president, Garth's successor, will actually oversee both Atlanta United and the newly announced NWSL team that's set to start in 2028. So a bit of an expanded role, and probably not as keenly focused on transfers and things as Garth Lagerwey may have been in his role. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of candidates pop up in that respect. I would imagine it's not going to be some former MLS GM. It will probably be somebody more kind of business related, I would think. And obviously having a connection to women's sports, but that will be the ongoing search. No real timeline for that. I would expect that there's not really a rush. The people in charge of soccer are already in place. And so this could take a while. I just don't know.
All right, Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll chat next week. Hopefully they can do the unthinkable and take on the Seattle squad and beat them at the Benz. We'll see.
And we got to get that Amy Grant song, one back next week.
Yeah, we'll get the remix. We'll let dealer's choice for Oren if he wants to play the OG or the remix. Thanks, Joe.
All right, thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Joe Patrick there. When we get back, it's so noticeable. It's just got a little extra.
We played it so many times that we know that this is not the OG. Not the OG version.
It just hit my ear wrong when it first started playing. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. First up, right back to the phones. 404-726-0929. The town hall continues. How do you feel about the team now at 4-8? And also, are they closer to a 1-year wonder like the Bears, the Lions, the Patriots, or is this thing going to take a while? Your calls next.